The reading this evening is taken from Spiritual Regeneration by Torben Spirit Area. Chapter 6, Sun and Libra. The energies of Libra give power to a person to create equilibrium. Equilibrium is the ability of the human soul to balance itself on the path in such a way that, in spite of the pull of matter and the pull of spirit, he progresses on the path of infinity with balance. Those who have equilibrium in their lives will understand intuitively what this energy is. For example, when you are talking, thinking, or working, are you doing things in equilibrium so that you create a balance between matter and spirit? Life exerts a strong pressure on us from the spiritual side and a strong pressure from the material side. The human soul must adapt his bodies in such a way that he can pass through these two pressures along a narrow path. The narrow path is to balance these two energies in such a way that they leave a little opening through which you can advance. If you become too spiritual, you burn yourself, and you cannot proceed on the path. If you become too material, you sink into matter. To balance yourself between spirit and matter is like walking on a tightrope. You must hold the balance pole and walk. The balance pole is your intellect, which balances your movement on that very narrow path between spirit and matter. If you go to any one extreme, you are going to pay a very heavy tax for it later. The human being is the result of balance. Progress is the result of balance. Any creative action is the result of equilibrium or balance. In a sense, the energy of Libra affects not only the physical plane, but also the emotional and mental planes. The energy of Libra is the wisdom in which you find all domains, levels, and planes of life, that equilibrium between matter and spirit. As a human being, you are a picture of equilibrium. You are half spirit and half matter. If you increase in matter, you go down the wrong path. If you increase in spirit, you cannot serve in the world because you become too abstract. How are you going to find a path in which both sides of your nature are balanced, and you use your physical, emotional, and mental natures to make the spiritual nature bloom?
So, as Star read tonight, Libra is about balance and about equilibrium. The full moon of Libra is actually Friday early morning at 1:53 a.m. So, set your alarm clock for a little bit before, give you time to prepare, and wake up. Sherry's laughing. so that you'll be ready at that full moon time to be in your higher body if you can keep your eyes open. And then a little bit of time afterwards. I usually like to do 10 minutes before and 10 minutes after, and that way I'm sure to absorb at least part of that energy in the midst of sleeping anyway. The symbol for Libra is the balance, or the two scales. And sometimes you'll see a woman with a blindfold on, meaning justice. And she's blindfolded to the outside because it's her inner light that's going to keep her just. Libra rules the seventh house of the zodiac. And the seventh house is marriage and relationships, and also open enemies. So what are our open enemies? Our vices. The esoteric ruler is Uranus. The exoteric ruler is Venus. And so between Libra, Uranus, and Venus, we bring in the rays of 3, 5, and 7 with Libra. The keynote for disciples is, I choose the way which lies between the two great lines of force. We're going to choose a way. We're going to be decisive. On Sunday, if some of you weren't here for the lecture, Jolene spoke about the phases of the moon, and specifically about the time between the new moon and the full moon, and the time between the full moon and the new moon, and how important it is that we recognize these two different energies. She said between the new moon and the full moon, the astral body of the moon is inhaling, and at the full moon, it exhales what it has inhaled. Now, we know that the physical body, she spoke about the physical body of the moon being dead, but that it also has an astral body, and it's this astral body that is still in operation. And it's the astral body that has all of the animal-like emotions, negative emotions of humanity. So the hatred, the jealousies, the revenge. They're still part of the astral body of the moon. And so when humanity, and especially disciples at this time, if we can align ourselves with our virtues and get ourselves in a really good place between the new moon and the full moon especially, that's what this astral body will be inhaling. But unfortunately, you know, not all of humanity is doing that. And so what it is inhaling is just more of the same of what caused the demise of the moon. And then she said at the time of the full moon that the energy turns, and it's as if this astral body of the moon then exhales what it has inhaled. And that's the time, she said, sometimes people fall into depression, or they become fatigued, they fall into their old ways. So it's important for us to think about this. Am I falling into my old ways? Am I just reverting back to my old depressions? So if you didn't get the tape, or if you didn't hear about it on Sunday, it would be wonderful to get that tape and to really chew it and assimilate it, because it affects all of us. It affects all of humanity. So the full moon. It's interesting when each constellation comes around and we have certain planets and we have certain rays that can absorb the energy from this constellation. And it's that combination that we can work with at the full moon time, because they are most in alignment with this constellation. It's a synthesis of, if you look at it, of rays and of the planet of the sun, because the sun absorbs that energy from the constellation, brings it to humanity, brings it to the earth. And so we are told that this is a special time that we need to first of all prepare ourselves before the full moon time, and then to recognize the day of the full moon, and then to release this energy in the most productive way. So we have the 3 days before the full moon. Seeing as the full moon is on Friday, today is the first day of this 7-day period. And today is called the day of confidence. Confidence in the hierarchy, confidence in the Christ, confidence in who we are as a spark, and to know that everyone else has that same peace of God, that same spark of God in them. Tomorrow is going to be aspiration, the day of aspiration. And what is aspiration? It is to raise your emotional body. It's to fuse it with a great beauty, a great vision. So we can think about aspiration tomorrow. And then on Thursday, it's called the Day of Dedication. Our thoughts can be charged with higher inspirations, with ideas. It's a time to dedicate ourselves to what it is we believe. And then Friday, the 13th, we can think of the full moon day as a day of contact and also as a sacred day, just like a holiday, you know, where we want to keep our thoughts, we want to keep our emotions and our actions and our words in alignment with our values. Venus represents values. So what are our values and how can we keep ourselves in the higher octave on that particular day? We're told that if we do things against our values, then we spill the contents of our chalice. So we can think about ourselves as being a chalice. And we don't want to spill all the good that we have accumulated. The fifth day is called the Day of Registration, and we can think about new plans, new ideas, changes. How are we going to liberate ourselves? The sixth is the Day of Assimilation. Energies are to be transmuted, transformed, and transfigured. And then the seventh day is Radiation. And through our thoughts, our words, and our actions, we radiate that which we've contacted. So, that's how we prepare ourselves here for the full moon that's coming up. Now, Libra. Libra rules the house of relationships. So during this month, we're going to look at our relationships. Our home relationships, our business, where we work, our group relationships, and if we have a place in the world, look at that relationship as well. Because everything starts with our relationship at home, so to speak. Weigh these against our ideals. How do we want our home to be? How do we want our workplace to be? Is it that way? Is our home life the way we want it to be? Does everybody relate in a positive manner? Where can we make improvements in our relationships with others? And we can look to see how far off balance we are as well. Libra stands for harmony, for love, diplomacy, and peace. And we all yearn for these things. We all want to have peace at home. We all want to have harmony in the workplace. But do we have it? We have what we've created. So if we don't like what we have, then we can make changes. We can change our environment by changing ourselves first. Our lives are a struggle to stay in harmony, in balance, to stay in the middle, like Buddha talked about, that noble middle path, between the two pairs of opposites. And that's what our whole life is, and life keeps throwing us curveballs to see if you can still stay in the middle. But in a sense, it's almost like we attract these curveballs in order to balance, in order to know what it is to balance, to have equilibrium. We're told that one scale is the eye of the soul, and the other scale are our values. So, we're going to weigh our values in the light of the soul. And we have to think about our values. What are our values? And it's not just thinking about what your values are, because you are your values. You know, sometimes we have pseudo values. We have the values that our parents gave us or that our minister gave us. But your values are what you live every day, how you relate with other people, what our thoughts are. That's the real test of what you think your values are. And our values will evolve as our consciousness evolves. And we can look at the standard of our inner guide to see how off the mark we're living our lives. We were told that in this month we must weigh our friendships, our courage, our ability to adapt, our sensitivity, sincerity, tolerance, and understanding. The eye of the soul is the presence of the solar angel. So, when we weigh all of those things in the light of the solar angel, where do we need work? Where is the work to be done? There's a quote by Torkham Sirdarian. He says that equilibrium is a condition to push the spark forward. It is a means to use positive and negative energies, or spirit and matter, in such a proportion that the spark moves on without losing direction. I think in our lives it's easier to pick one side or the other. You know, it's easier to be materialist or it's easier to be spiritualist. It's easier to go to a convent or it's easier to just live in this material world. It's very difficult to keep balancing the two. To know that, you know, you have your studies, you have your meditation, you have all your disciplines, but you also have to work. You also have to relate in this world. Some people have a hard time going to spiritual conferences and letting go of the material world, whereas other people have a hard time coming back from that spiritual conference and coming back into the material world. It's almost jolting to them. But we have to keep going back and forth until neither one of them affects us, until we're not pulled by either one. We simply do it. When it's time to go to the conference, we can let go of the material world and we can go. When it's time to come back into this material world, we simply let go of the conference and we come back. I mean, we take everything from that conference, but we don't go, oh God, I gotta go to work on Monday. I wish I could just stay here for the next month. We need to adapt. Adaptability. Scientists will tell you that the animals and the beings that exist now are the ones that could adapt. You become extinct when you cannot adapt. So if we're balanced, we adapt to whatever is coming our way. Libra ever seeks harmony in all its relations. To a Libran, chaos and ugliness are just totally disharmonious to them. They can't stand ugliness. They can't stand disharmony. And they'll do anything to prevent this. They'll try to be peacemakers. You know that a lot of the diplomats, the peacemakers of the world, are Libras. Jimmy Carter was a Libra. Peacemakers have a very difficult time because they have all of this chaos coming at them, and they have to somehow synthesize spirit and matter. Can you imagine being a peacemaker in the Middle East? I mean, most people just throw up their hands and say, it's a lost cause. There's no way. These people have been fighting for 500 years. How are we going to go in there and make peace? And hierarchy says, that's your job. We don't want to hear any excuses. That's your job to figure out how you're going to make peace in the Middle East or wherever, in your own home, in your own house. How are you going to make peace when you have all these personalities coming together? Chaos. Our lives can get out of balance in so many simple ways. Not getting enough sleep. Not getting the right food. Not getting exercise. I know somebody who has to run every day. If this person doesn't run, then their life falls apart. I mean, that's not adaptability. That's not balance. These show us how attached we are to our bodies. These little nuts and bolts that come into our lives and try to create imbalance, they tell us how attached we are to our bodies. Discipline in action is not being attached to the discipline. You can run 5 miles a day and be in inertia because you're attached to your discipline. Your life can't go on without your discipline. That's inertia. Don't think you're going somewhere because you're running up and down for 5 miles a day. If our disciplines become a habit, they're no longer disciplines. Disciplines are ways to liberate us, not to keep us in just another form, in another box, in another part of the scale. Our disciplines create imbalance when they become compulsions. Example of, you know, we all feel like we need so many hours of sleep, and we get to, maybe somebody thinks that they need to go to bed at 9 o'clock every night. This is their discipline. And then your teacher says, you know, let's do a midnight meditation next week. And this person says, I can't do that. I need my sleep. I can't stay past 9 o'clock. My eyes start closing and they start making all these excuses why they can't do this. Well, it's because their discipline has become a compulsion for them. And on the path of perfection, we will be given every kind of test to throw us off balance, to see how quickly we regain our equilibrium. Is it amount of hours, days, or lifetimes before we regain our equilibrium? Every time we regain our equilibrium, we come closer. That's how the spark gets a little bit further and a little bit further and evolves. And we know who we are and we know who we're not. There is this story that I read about these two monks. And to see how discipline can be controlling if it's not balanced with our purpose. There were these two monks walking down the street, and it had been raining, and they're walking by this stream, and the stream was just racing. It was more like a raging river. And there was this woman, and she slipped into the stream and she started to drown, and she called for help. And the one monk said, I cannot touch a woman. So he keeps going on. The other monk, monk number two, jumps in the river and saves the woman from drowning. Later, he catches up with monk number one, and the monk says, you touched a woman. How could you touch a woman? And the other monk says, hello, she was drowning. And the other monk says, but it's a sin. You can't touch another woman. You can't touch a woman. We took these vows. So they start walking, and the monk number two goes into a meditative state, and he gets back focused, and he's meditating, and 10 minutes later the other monk says, what did you do? And the other monk says, what did I do? He says, you touched a woman. And the other monk said, yeah, I saved her life. He says, but I saved her life, and that was the end of it for me. You're still carrying her around with you. Because he's so attached to his discipline. He's oppressed by his discipline. Now, all of us, as Star was reading, are a combination of spirit and matter. I remember a friend of mine had, she was Jewish, and she was in the teachings, and she had a little crucifix that she used to wear. Well, her family used to give her a hard time with this, because they thought it was a symbol of Christianity. And she had to fight them every time she had a family reunion. And she came to me one day and she said, "How can I get them to get off my back?" And I said, "Well, the crucifix, or the cross, I should say, is a symbol of spirit into matter." And I said, "That's what you are. That's what everyone is. Just tell them they're just this is a symbol of spirit into matter." And she did, and they got off her back because she explained it in non-Christian terms, and, you know, very logical terms. We're told that if we want to advance spiritually, we must also advance physically, emotionally, and mentally. We must advance on all levels and weigh that with our spiritual advancement as well. We can't sit and meditate and ignore the physical body. We can't stop advancing physically, exercise and stop exercising, or emotionally, we can't stop feeding it beauty. That would be the death of our physical matter existence. And like Star was reading, you can burn yourself with too much spirit. Our emotional body advances as we feel for others, as we feel sympathy, compassion, empathy. All of these things help to feed the emotional body and help it to advance. If we want to advance mentally, meditation, sweet thought meditation. It helps to burn away those things which cause imbalances in our nature, the ego, the vanity, the pride. Pride is especially detrimental, because most people do have pride to some degree or another. Whether it's a little bit or whether it's a lot, we all have pride to some degree, unless you're a master. Benjamin Franklin once said, "To be proud of virtue is to poison yourself with the antidote." Pride eats all the beauty that you have, because you don't want to sublimate yourself to anything or anyone. It's like Lucifer, the story of Lucifer. You know, he did not want to sublimate himself to anything below what he thought was his position next to God, on the right hand of God. It trips us into thinking that we don't have to strive. We're told that of all the vices, the last to go is pride, and it's the only one that can stand before God. All other vices fall away, and this is the one that tries to stand up the very last minute and make its mark. So when they say pride goes before the fall, it's very literal. Literally, it does. There's a quote from Torquem Ceredigion. He says, "A wise man one day told his student, 'My dear one, you cannot learn anymore. No matter how hard you work and how hard you knock at the door will remain closed.' 'But master,' said the student, 'why can't I learn? I have a wonderful brain, a sharp intellect, and persistence.' 'Because,' said the teacher, 'you built a wall of pride around yourself, and if you continue learning the way you do, that wall will turn into a prison for your soul. No light will penetrate into that prison. It is better for you to go into the world and destroy that wall of pride before it is too late.'" He told him to go into the world, because in the world you will find those who are better than you, those that you can learn from. Pride doesn't want to learn from anyone else. It doesn't think there's anything else to learn, or there's anyone that they can learn from. And all you have to do is look around you, and you can see so many people who are so far advanced, and so much that you have to learn. Now, the labor associated with Libra is number 7, the capture of the Irmanthian boar. That was easy for me to say. And it starts out with Hercules having to go catch this boar that's been ravaging the countryside, terrorizing everyone. It's ferocious. And then Apollo gives him this beautiful bow to use to kill the boar. Well, Hercules, in the previous labor, killed that which he loved, which he should never have harmed. So he says, no, I don't want to do any more killing. I've killed enough. So he wants to go catch it with his bare hands. So he climbs the mountain looking for the boar. He comes across his friend, Pholos. Pholos says, I got some wine. Would you like to sit and drink and chat a little bit? So Hercules becomes a little distracted. He says, yeah, let's go do that. Now, this wine was meant for the group. It wasn't meant just for Pholos and for Hercules. So they take the wine, they go up, they're sitting, and here comes another friend, Tyrios. They all get drunk and happy, and then they start fighting. Hercules ends up killing his two friends. And he realizes what he's done. But then he realizes, but he has a mission. He cannot stop. He's got to go back up that mountain to catch the boar. So that's what he does. He climbs the mountain. He goes and he finds the boar. And he doesn't want to kill it. So he waits for it. And he snares it in a trap. And then he catches it. He grabs it by its hind legs. And he moves it down the mountain. And all the while he's doing this, he's laughing, he's singing, because it's a ridiculous sight to see. And everybody there laughs at this ridiculous sight as well. And so he gets to the council chamber, and yes, you've passed the 7th test. And he gets to his teacher, and his teacher says, the 7th labor is completed, the 7th gate passed. Ponder upon the lessons of the past. Reflect upon the tests, my son. Twice have you slain that which you should have loved. Learn why. Now, the boar can represent the body or the matter principle, and Hercules is the spirit. The party shows us how we become distracted from our purpose by all of life's desires and indulgences, you know, to try to keep that balance when all of these things that we desire come at us. And here's Hercules. Yeah, he did. He fell into that whole trap of being led away by his friends and by the drink. Now, Chirion, we're told, represents our good thoughts, and Pholos represents bodily strength. No matter how physically strong or how intellectual we are, these two lines alone cannot control our nature, our emotional nature specifically. Desire is represented by the boar as well. It must be taken high up into the mountain to ever climb higher and higher. Now, Hercules could have given up after he killed his two friends. He could have said, I failed this mission. I should never have killed these two. But they didn't stop him. And we're told about Arjuna sitting on the battlefield saying, but I can't hurt these people, and I can't hurt these people. He was identified with both armies. He couldn't decide which one he was going to fight for. Sometimes when we've made mistakes in our lives, our life can spiral. We can just give up. So we have the esoteric ruler of Libra, which is Uranus. And Uranus is the awakener. Uranus says, you can change. What do you mean you can't change? Yes. Take your body by storm and change it. Get back on the path. Get back towards your purpose. Don't forget your purpose in life, no matter how many mistakes you've made, no matter what you think you are, how low self-esteem you have now because of the things that you've done. So Hercules had to regain his equilibrium and his balance in order to go and catch the boar, to fulfill his purpose. We're told that the lower, or the average man, can become very indecisive. The average Libran is very indecisive. He cannot choose between these two things. He cannot make that decision. And we're told, you know, we have to look at the two lines of force, and we have to choose the middle path, that line which will make us go forward, not stay where we are. Alice Bailey says that this is the only labor that ends in a burst of laughter. Not only does Hercules perform the task assigned, but he makes the ferocious boar an object of ridicule. By a slightly altered perspective, many of the terrifying experiences of life may be transformed by a beneficent sense of humor. That's nice to know. Much of what people regard as grave and serious earnestness has decidedly ridiculous overtones. That's an interesting way to look at our life when we think that all is lost. It's ridiculous. Think of Hercules and the boar. You know, just take it by its hind leg, whatever that problem is, and march it down the mountain. Don't take yourself so seriously. Now, the three tests of Libra are money, sex, and pollution. Money, sex, and pollution. And all three of these can create a state of imbalance if they're not weighed properly with the eye of the soul. Now, money. Money can also be our resources. And we're told in the teachings that to share means to give half. To give half of your talent, to give of your resources, to give of your money, whatever it is, to give half. I think of the ohm, and how on the O, it's like breathing in. On the M, it's like breathing out. And they have to be of equal count, because you don't want to take in more than you're giving out. They have to be balanced. And this is what sharing means. It means to give whatever you've been given, or whatever you've earned, is to give it out. Now, can we balance, can we stay in balance when we are living from paycheck to paycheck? How easy is it to maintain your balance without, you know, obsessing about your finances? Or if you've won the $20 million lotto. I mean, that would create a tremendous imbalance in your life. You may think you welcome it, but then you know you're responsible for all that money to be dispersed evenly, to share it. It seems like we don't have the money in the right places in this society. Seems like, you know, there's too much poverty and there's too much wealth. And I remember a bumper sticker once saying, and I'm paraphrasing, it said, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if the government allocated billions of dollars to education and the Pentagon had to have bake sales?" Unfortunately, it's the other way around. Money is a gift. Money is a gift. And it's also a catalyst for us to measure our greed, our selfishness, or our sharing, our ability to just give whatever we have. It's almost, you know, like, it's kind of like playing God in a way that, you know, you get a little taste of what it is to earn and to give and to earn and to give and to let that energy just flow through you. Now, sex. How many of us view sex as a sacrament? It is a sacrament. Sex is a sacrament at one minute of male and female for the production of forms, for the carrying on of evolving life. And this can be on the physical, emotional, mental level of ideas, of whatever it is that stirs the creative spark in you. And that's what sex is. It's that creativity. How does sex create an imbalance in our lives? Well, too much, too little. If we're obsessed with it, I think of the drug Viagra and how detrimental that is. I mean, can you imagine if that desire is not there, it means that the center, there's something wrong with that center, or there's something that needs balancing out with that center. And then you have this drug that goes in and stimulates the atoms wherever, you know, for that center, I guess in the brain. And then they start overusing that center. And I can't imagine what's going to happen in the future with this overstimulation of this center, when nature is telling you, you need to balance it. That's why, you know, it's not there, because you've done something to create an imbalance. We're told that sex and money are good servants and bad masters. Pollution. He talks mostly about noise pollution. And I know some friends of mine and I were talking about how when you wake up in the morning to bulldozers at 5:30 in the morning, how does that start your day off? Or your neighbor is revving up their engine for 20 minutes and all the fumes are coming into your bedroom window. You know, we're living in this world. We can't get away from it. We're told that the pollution of the noise from the earth is so detrimental to us that it's actually degenerating us. One of the greatest tasks of science will be to create a noiseless world. Noise pollution is more dangerous and is producing more destructive effects than anything else in the world. And I was thinking about this today at work. How many noises there are just in the office. It's incredible. It's no wonder that we can't think. It's no wonder that we have a hard time with our bodies, with disease, because of the what noise is producing. And if we have so much noise, then how are we ever going to communicate with the higher worlds? You know, how can we hear what's coming? How can we communicate without all this noise? So this month, we are going to try to see exactly what our values are. How do we live our lives? That's what our values are. Are we living the values that we think we have? What is preventing us physically, emotionally, or mentally from advancing? What is preventing us spiritually from advancing? What knocks us off balance? What are the things that knocks us off balance? Centuries ago, great ones gave us a prayer to stimulate in us the seeds of right choice. Lead us, O Lord, from darkness to light, from the unreal to the real, from death to immortality, and from chaos to beauty. So let's do our meditation now, and we can get ready, get comfortable, wake up. Thank you. And let us say 3 ohms. Salutations to the Lord of the world, the silent watcher. Salutations to the Lord Christ, the bridge between humanity and the Father of all. Salutations to all who work for peace. Meditate on the sea thought. What area of my life needs the most balancing? And then what are 3 steps we can take to restore balance? Now really see yourself balanced in that situation or in those situations. Feel what it feels like to be balanced. Think of yourself balanced on all levels. Hold that image. Know that this is just the first step in greater levels of balance. And this will affect all areas of your life by creating balance in one area. Let's repeat together the mantra of unification. The sons
of men are one, and I am one with them. I seek to love, not hate. I seek to serve and not exact due service. I seek to heal, not hurt.
Let
pain bring due reward of light and love.
Let
the soul control the outer form,
and
life and all events,
and
bring to life the love
which
underlies the happenings of the time.
Let
vision come and insight.
Let
the future stand revealed.
Let
inner union demonstrate,
and
outer cleavages be gone.
Let
love prevail.
Let
all men love.
And let us end with a great invocation. From
the point of light,
within
the mind of God,
let
light stream forth
into
the minds of men.
Let
light descend on earth.
From
the point of love
within
the heart of God,
let
love stream forth
into
the hearts of men.
May
Christ return to earth.
From
the center,
where
the will of God is known,
let
purpose guide the little wills of men,
the
purpose which the masters know and serve.
From
the center, which we call the race of men,
let
the plan of love and light work out,
and
may it seal the door
where
evil dwells.
Let
light
and
love
and
power
restore
the plan on earth.
Let's just say one ohm. Oh.